For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Today's show is brought to you by the first week of October, that special time of year when they jam pumpkin spice into every conceivable food and beverage.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's about right. That's
yes,
right.
That is right.
As I have pumpkin spice flavoring in my coffee.
I am not making this up. When I saw a story this morning that said Hefty is now, they offered pumpkin spice scented trash bags and many stores sold out. It's now going on like eBay and Facebook marketplaces for well over retail price trash bags.
I missed
trash
it.
Trash bags.
Yeah. I don't mind. You know, pumpkin spice is good.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
I had Cheerios that were like that last year, and I decided, okay, it's a little too far.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know, I like the scent.
A.K.A.
Sure.
Nutmeg.
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, but it's like pumpkin spice everything now.
Yeah, everything. It's pretty wild. Yeah.
All right, is gasoline a public good that government should force private businesses to sell at certain prices? We'll get to that in about 60 seconds. I'm Mike Ferguson. It is 7:07. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here. Got Ken Williams here. At 7:20, the numbers regarding illegal immigration in this country are just staggering. We've heard the numbers as far as how many people that have just simply walked in and said, "Hi, I'm here. Give me stuff." Those numbers are overwhelming enough, but how about the ones that actually didn't want to say hi to law enforcement and ran off what they call gotaways? That number staggering as well. I'll tell you about that around 6:20 or so, or excuse me, 7:20. 7:35, what a great weekend at Busch Stadium, especially if you were there for one or both of the games. I was at Saturday's game. I've got some of the clips of Yadi's speech and Albert Pujols' speech. What a special time for the entire city of St. Louis. So we'll do a review of that as well. All right. Interesting situation development in New Jersey, of all places. So, you know, Costco, Sam's Club, places like that. A lot of them have gas stations now. I know, like, the Sam's Club that's near me, which is on Brentwood Boulevard, they've got a gas station out there, Sam's Club. And if you're a member, then you can go buy gas there and you get a little bit of a discount. It's a little bit cheaper than other places because you have that. Well, in New Jersey, the government's like, whoa, what do you mean some people are getting a break on gas prices? That's not fair. So Costco, selling discounted gas prices to members has created a controversy. Well, it didn't, but the government did, because there's a proposal in the New Jersey state legislature to force the company to sell it to the masses at the same price. Fox News's Sue Guzman has the report.
Costco used to allow everyone in the Garden State to buy gas at their discount prices, many people taking advantage of the savings earlier this year as gas prices were skyrocketing. But Costco ended that 18-year arrangement in July. So now Costco only sells gas to members who pay $60 for membership. Now two state lawmakers want to change that, saying gas is a public commodity, proposing legislation that would require all membership clubs in New Jersey to open up their discounted gasoline to all Garden State residents, not just paid members. State officials saying there is no consumer law preventing Costco from holding such a members-only policy. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Okay, first of all, it's $5 a month is what adds up to $60 a year for a membership.
Yeah.
One tank of gas with whatever they discount is likely going to cover your $5 a month.
Yeah.
And well, so you fill up, say, three times a month, four times a month, you're more than making it back, even with a 25 or 50 cent discount on the gas or whatever it actually is. Secondly, Costco bought the gas at the same wholesale price as everybody else. If they want to give their members a discount, that's not the government's business.
That's how that works.
No.
You know, it boggles the mind how easily people slip into the, you know what, we ought to make a rule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they go so easily.
Do something!
Do something! Hey, look, people, I did something for you. You know what? Stop helping me, because you're not actually helping.
Okay,
me.
So let me introduce Mike the Liberal.
Okay,
and I'm going to push back against you as Mike the Liberal. Let me get my scarf that's wrapped around here.
All and right, Mickey.
My beanie cap and my.
You want some hair paint?
Yeah, exactly. All that. So I'm going to say, excuse me, I'm Mike the Liberal now. It's not fair that some people can buy it cheaper than others. And if you can afford a Costco membership and some people can't, and they shouldn't be forced to pay more for gas than see, I'm a member of Michael Everett. And anything government could do to bring down the cost of living is what they should do. So this is helping people. Why do you not want to help people, Gabe?
Oh,
again, that's Mike the Liberal.
Oh, I have plenty of things that the government could do to bring down the cost of living. If that's where you want to go. I mean, because, you know, one thing they could do is stop spending so much money trying to bring down the cost of living.
And
because that's actually doing the opposite.
Why do you hate the children, Gabe?
I love children. They just keep them over there. Sorry.
You're racist.
Yes. So you know what? I'm just going to completely deflate every single argument.
Go.
Like, yeah, I am sure.
But the argument that I want to give you a discount, therefore I'm going to tell this guy how he should manage his business.
Yeah, it's just, what's to stop the government then? If the government can simply declare anything a public interest, a public good, what's to stop them from simply making that declaration on anything else? Oh, you sell, premium vegan hamburgers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? Those vegan hamburgers are so much more expensive than regular hamburgers. And I think it's within the public good that people eat more vegan meats than regular meats because of climate change.
Or milk.
Right. Yeah, or milk. Or whatever.
Diapers, whatever.
Yeah. So I think, as the government, you must be forced to price it the same as the commodity that you're trying to compete against. So even though it's more expensive to produce vegan meat, I think you should sell it at the same rate as meat.
And Costco would love to sell everybody the discounted gas because they want everybody to buy the memberships and then go inside and buy more stuff from them.
Exactly.
Well, then that's their prerogative. And it's interesting, you know, how the left has this daily hypocrisy. I mean, they really are. They're hypocrites to the highest level that you could possibly be, because they say that, you know, when you have these high-tech companies saying, well, we want to stifle speech, well, they're private owners. They can do whatever they want. Well, then why can't Costco or Sam's Club do whatever they want?
Right.
It's a private business.
And in the end, they argue on both sides. It's like, well, we're protecting the public. You know, in one case, it's misinformation or hate speech. Well, what's hate speech? Whatever you disagree with is hate speech to those on the left and
always,
some on the right.
It's always who determines what misinformation and disinformation and is.
In this case right here, Costco's saying, yeah, we'd love to sell you discounted gas. It's $60 or the equivalent of $5 a month.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you go into one of these discount clubs like Costco or Sam's or whatever, you will save more. You're buying in bulk. I mean, it's not like your bill is less, but you get more stuff for it. And so – it's called the free market. So instead of basically trying to force businesses to adjust to the government determined need, what they should be doing is adjusting to the signals of the market.
There you go. Because the market is where people are actually making their decisions. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that the government, or I should say, the proponents of government control of everything, what they always discount is that basically capitalism is democratic economics, right? It's where individuals making their individual choices, they're voting with their feet and their money. They get to determine where the money goes, where the production comes from, where, you know, what the priorities of the business people are. They do so every single day as consumers. And when the government tries to step in and make adjustments to the prices, which are the results of the decisions of the individuals, they're basically trying to rig the ballot box, as it were, the economic ballot box that the people are voting for every time they use their money.
Yeah. All right, 314-912-1019, because the danger here isn't that somebody might get, you know, a quarter off of a gallon of gas. That's a good thing, obviously.
Sure.
It's what else gets to be declared a public good that's actually in the private marketplace.
Food would absolutely be next.
And that is what happens. That's how government creep happens. And then suddenly you look around and go, wait a minute. How did government end up controlling everything?
And that's my biggest problem with all of it.
314-912-1019. This is 1019 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Were you at one of the games this weekend honoring Yachty, honoring Albert? Oh, man, 7:35. Let's relive some of that. I've got some parts of the different speeches from the ceremony. Just cool stuff. Baseball fan or not, man, this was like quintessential St. Louis. So 7:35. Let's get into that. Have a little bit of fun with it. I'm Mike Ferguson. It is 7:22. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here. Got Ken Williams here. At 8:05, there's obviously a huge amount of news still coming out of Florida as they try to recover not just property, but tragically people as well. There are several specially trained volunteers from the St. Louis region in Florida now working, and we're going to talk to our friends at the Red Cross at 8:05 to get an update on what St. Louis is doing, St. Louisans are doing to help bring disaster relief to the people affected by the hurricane in Florida. Let me just put it this way. What we're doing to help our fellow Americans, because that's the way we should be thinking when something like this happens. Just throw the politics into the poop can and be done with it for a little bit and just focus on making sure that we can do whatever we can to help others. So we'll talk to them at 8:05 on that. All right. We hear a lot about, obviously, the border. The Biden administration does not want us to talk a lot about the border this close to an election because, man, 5 weeks away from the election. 5 weeks. Tomorrow, it will be 5 weeks away from the election. So 30-some-odd days now at this point that we are that we're going to be deciding our next senators, and Illinois is going to be deciding a governor and everything else in between. By the way, Mark Montavani is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
7:35. Mark's going to be back on the program making his case to become the next county executive in St. Louis County. Very, very important election there. But Republican governors of border states, as we know, have been sending illegals to different sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. New York City is bracing. I mean, they're bracing. They're like setting up tent cities with fences around them, interestingly enough.
Fences work.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
To prepare for potentially thousands of illegals being bussed into their city. Of course, the Republican governors are being criticized for that, but I don't think criticized really by more than just liberal talking points and liberals who don't like the fact that they're being forced and they're being confronted with the with their policies. So here's what's going on. Eagle Pass Mayor Yolanda Ramon says that the illegals are not being lied when they're being bussed away. She says they don't want to stay at the border and sometimes don't even know where they are, saying they'll ask how far is San Antonio or how far is Houston or how far is New York. But a shocking new number, that's just the people that we know about, that the Border Patrol actually knows about. Shocking number confirms how many illegals are getting past U.S. Border Patrol. Fox News' Matt Finn has the details and the numbers.
It was a busy week here at the border. Just about every single day, we saw large groups of migrants crossing into the United States. And most of the groups are men, women, and oftentimes we see very young children. And Fox News has also just confirmed with U.S. Customs and Border Protection that there were 600,000 gotaways in the fiscal year that just ended in 2022. Gotaways are illegal migrants that are considered a concern because they do not surrender. They do not want to be seen. They intentionally evade law enforcement. Now, for comparison, former U.S. Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott tells our Bill Malusian that in 2020, that fiscal year, there was only 70,000 gotaways.
600,000 illegal immigrants total would be a failure to secure the border. That's 600,000 that we know got past our Border Patrol and law enforcement, and we don't know who they are, and we don't know where they are, and we don't know what they're doing. That's in addition to the millions of illegal immigrants that are either caught or simply walk up and say, I got past the border. I win. Where's my free stuff? Oh, by the way, I'm what's the word? Refugee. What do I want?
Magic word.
Asylum.
Right.
Asylum.
Asylum,
yes,
seekers.
It's the magic words.
Those are the magic words. Those are the magic two words. Now, that's the latest, is asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike, I told you a report earlier that the RNC had said it's over a million since Joe Biden took office. And you've got to consider a million. This is not counting everybody else. These are the gotaways. And we don't know what country they came from. We don't know if they're rapists, murderers. We don't know if they're drug dealers. We don't know if they're terrorists? I don't know.
Because there have been people on the terrorist watch list who have been caught.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Remember, we're not talking about, oh, well, you just don't want the people from Central or South America coming through. There have been people from over 100 countries. That's not exaggeration. Over 100 countries have been apprehended at the border and likely gotaways as well. I mean, you look at people from the Middle East. That's kind of the long way around to get into the U.S. from the Middle East.
A little bit.
And that takes some money to get around, too.
Venezuela did something actually really creative. They opened up their jails and said, leave.
Right.
They literally took their jail, all their penitentiaries, and said, you people,
you have to leave the country?
Stay here or you go north.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. And they're here.
That's north. That's up that way.
Wow.
Need a ride? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're sure you can find one.
Well, hey, if you can export all your undesirables, why not, right?
And the cost that goes with it.
Jeez. This whole thing is just disgusting, because the thing is, the results aren't simply, oh no, we have, you know, people that we don't like that are in the country. It's that people are suffering. The migrants are suffering. Because they end up, you know, you get people getting cooked into 18 wheelers. You've got people who are being assaulted as they're being trafficked. You know, you have all of these things that are happening. And then on the other side of the border, you know, on our side of the border, you have individuals who are economically impacted. Typically, people of my complexion who are impacted by the flooding of the labor market. You have communities that are being overrun and stressed to the hilt. You know, like El Paso is supposed to be able to absorb 10,000 people a day.
Right.
But you know, people are actually being affected by these lax and stupid policies by the Biden administration. But we're supposed to, you know, supposedly be acting out of compassion by letting this thing be completely out of control.
How long can we take in the size of Chicago every year? And that's the question.
Yeah.
2.1 million people. I mean, you're talking about a large city that's coming in here and they're here.
I mean, the entire St. Louis, like, metro area is about 3 million people. I mean, that is a huge number of people. And Nancy Pelosi was asked about this the other day. I think you saw this. I think I saw it on your Twitter, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
He's at St. John the Philosopher. Nancy Pelosi, boy, how's this for being comforting? And how much she loves the dark-skinned people, I guess, right? Check this out.
We have a shortage of workers in our country. And you see even in Florida, some of the farmers and the growers saying, why are you shipping these immigrants up north? We need them to pick the crops down here.
Did she just say what I thought she should just say?
Is that racist?
Did she just say we need them to pick crops here?
She could have said cotton, but I think she managed to
slid under that.
It slid right around that.
Pick her cotton, not crops.
And of course, as I shared that on Twitter, what I said was meet the new Democrat, same as the old Democrat.
Yeah, I got that tweet.
Because I saw that and I'm like, because I spotted that on your Twitter and I was like, no, she didn't.
Yeah, she did. She sure did.
She did. That's exactly what she said.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, old habits die hard, I guess.
314-912-1019. Let's be happy.
Yes.
Boy, was St. Louis. How rarely do we get to say downtown St. Louis was the place to be?
Yeah.
I got to be there for Saturday. I wasn't there for Sunday, unfortunately. But what a special time for the whole city. Yadi Wayno being bid farewell from the regular season, last regular season game. I've got some of the speeches that were done. We're going to relive that a little bit. Were you there? I'd love to hear your perspective on it. 314-912-1019. This is 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Okay, a couple of notes. Quick programming note. Joe Pags. We love having Joe Pags on this station here. He starts at 7 o'clock on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. His guest tonight is Donald Trump. Going to be on the program. So be sure to check that out.
Tune in.
Also, don't forget the News Talk STL podcasts. Wherever you get your podcast. I was actually kind of walking one of my friends over the weekend through the download process on the podcast. I mean, he's got our app and he listens streaming. If you, and I don't care where you get your podcast, we're there. Just look up News Talk STL and hit subscribe, and then you've got access to all of our shows and specifically a lot of the interviews and special segments separately as well. So you can hear them again, forward them to your friends and family who need a little bit of support when it comes to debating people who are wrong about stuff. And of course, it can also be sent to people who are wrong about stuff so they can get a better perspective as well.
And can I say something about the listeners also? This weekend,
nope,
I was at first of all, I want to say happy birthday to my brother. His birthday is actually today.
Hey.
And so we were at this party at Milo's, you know, we were playing bocce ball. And I found out there were friends of mine who I haven't been in contact with in a while, but they have been listening the whole time.
Oh, great.
And they walked up and said, hey, I've been listening to you. Well, I'm like, hey, why don't you call? So if anybody knows me right now and is listening right now, give us a call and say hi. It's 314-912-1019. I want to say hi to Shelly Smith and Mitch Hammond, my buddy. And I actually grew up with Mitch.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, it was funny because my friend Dennis and I were just having some dinner, getting ready to go to that 80s metal show at the Family Arena. Oh, so much fun. So much fun. Maybe I'll do a concert review at 7:50. It was so much fun. Oh, my goodness. Two of the three bands sounded great. One of them.
Okay.
Time's catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a great time.
All right.
Okay. So were you at...
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't even mention one of the coolest parts of your concert going experience, did you?
Oh, that's right. You know, 7:50. I think I should do that.
Okay, all right.
It's one of those "what are the chances" type things, and we had a really big laugh over that because I texted Gabe a picture.
Yeah,
I don't even think I told you about this, Ken. So 7:50. One of the craziest things happened when I went to that that show at the Family Arena on Friday.
Oh yeah,
one of those "what are the chances" things. So we'll do that at 7:50.
Yes. All right. Cool.
Okay. At the last regular season home games of Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols. Now, it's not that they won't play at Busch Stadium again because we've got the playoffs being the, you know, Central Division champions and all. But they had a great ceremony at Busch Stadium yesterday for their final regular season home game. It was funny because I was at the game Saturday night and I was telling my friend Bob, I said, you know, at some point on Sunday, regardless of who's winning or losing, they're going to stop the game in the middle of an inning and substitute for Albert and Yachty and let them get the big standing ovation, because who wins or loses the game on Sunday makes no difference to the Cardinals in the playoffs.
Right.
None whatsoever. But they did it with Yachty and Albert and Wainwright. And I stole the picture from the Cardinals. It's going to be a new, like, what do they call it? Not the profile picture, but the cover photo. Mm-hmm. That's going to go up here at some point. And it was really great. And it was so cool. And I've got a couple – you're going to hear from Yachty and Albert here in a minute. But it's just cool the way that everybody just gels around the Cardinals, knowing this is a special – this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing to have these – icons of the game in your city, part of your community for this long.
Yeah.
Especially Yadi Molina, 19 years consecutively.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Alex Rodriguez or Derek Jeters, mm-hmm, when they were retiring in New York, it was them individually.
It's a big
deal. You know, it was a big deal for them individually. But you know what? We've got three guys who are just elite players, and they're retiring, or at least two of them are retiring. Yeah, we don't know about Waino.
Waino's
got some...
He's being a little coy.
He's got a little gas in the tank left,
He's being a little coy on this. Here's Albert Pujols. I mean, of course, you know, they thanked everybody, their family and the teammates and, you know, the managers and their agents and the fan and all that. But here's part of what Albert Pujols had to say from Busch Stadium.
It has been a privilege and honor to wear in this uniform for 11 years before I left, and definitely for the last year with the San Luis Cardinals. So thank you so much to all of you. And two special people in my life. One of them you hear speak, Yachty and Bueno. Thank you guys for all the space time and the off season and bringing me back here. I know you guys have a lot to do with that. And one special person that I want to thank is my manager, Ollie Marmo.
Thank you, brother. I will never forget that test and that phone call that we had 6 months ago when you told me that you want to bring me back here along with the ownership. So thank you for believing in me. Thank you for sticking with me. God bless you, brother.
Okay, now here's the another clip I just had. I just got to sneak this one in too, Gabe, here.
Yeah.
Dang, a slow start. I was like, man, I should have retired. There were so many things that came through my mind. Like, I should have died. But then I had a great faith in the Lord. There's no way that he brought me here to the city of San Luis to embarrass myself. Just like Paul, he wanted me to finish strong. And this is just one step that we take being in the postseason. So our next step is to try to bring a championship back to the city of San Luis.
Yeah.
How can you not love the guy?
Man, the end of a storybook season would, I mean, it's written. We just need to make it happen.
That's right. Nick Schroer's on the line.
What?
The Nick Schroer?
Yeah.
No way. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, man, I hit a home run yesterday.
He did. Okay, let me just roll.
702, baby.
Talk about the script. His last regular season at bat in Busch Stadium was a home run. His first ever at bat at home at Busch Stadium was a home run as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that. Yeah. Well, bookended it.
We were there yesterday, had the girls with me, and their new favorite player is Albert Pujols, which is weird because it's like, hey, I grew up with this guy. Exactly. I got to see him make history yesterday. So he not only hit 702, his last at-bat home run, he tied Babe Ruth for RBIs.
That's right.
And Waino and Molina set another record for the consecutive batteries that nobody's ever going to touch.
No,
that one.
Never. No, I was actually at the game where they tied the record. But every time that they did that, it was, what is it? It's a 28 now or something like that.
Yeah.
But you're crazy. Right, Nick. It will. Nobody is ever going to come close to that record. Never.
No.
Yeah. Historic day, like you guys said, if we can just write that storybook ending, get into the playoffs, go all the way to the World Series. I'm not going to jinx anything, but let's just pray that we have another red October.
Okay, so Nick, I want to play one clip from Yachty here in a second, but when you look at like the region, I'm talking about St. Louis, I mean like all of it, there's just something cool and special about, you know, what the way we're rallying around this team and these guys. What's it mean to the community to you when you see not just the city, but just the whole region? Because I was there Saturday. The vibe was incredible. I mean, I'm telling you that, I mean, if it weren't too weird, everybody would have just been like hugging everybody else for no reason whatsoever. I'm very glad that didn't happen, but I'm just saying it was a party of atmosphere, man.
Well, yeah, that's exactly how it was. We were there for the opening ceremonies where, you know, Yachty got to talk. We got to hear Wainwright, Molina, all of them. Matt Holliday's crying his eyes out. But every single time that they would come up, you know, the standing ovations, when the home run happened, you know, the city didn't care. The people in the stands didn't care who you voted for, Republican, Democrat, where you live, what high school you went to. We were all Cardinals fans. And that's exactly, I think, what this city, what the state needs in this politically polarized, crazy world we live in. Rallying around people like that where we can just, it's America's pastime. We can just, you know, set down all the politics, all the stress in the world and appreciate these people for the machines that they are.
Absolutely. All right. That's a state representative, hopefully soon to be state senator, Nick Schroer. Hey, Nick, appreciate being on the show, man.
Absolutely. God bless you guys.
Hey, all right. Thanks a lot. Hey, can I play one Yachty clip real quick?
Yeah.
I know that I'm a little heavy on the segment. Okay. So this is me running a little bit late here. All right. Here's just a real quick clip of Yachty or Molina addressing the fans.
I'm proud. And it was a great honor to wear this uniform for 19 years here in San Luis. In baseball heaven, and with you, the best fan in baseball. Thank you so much.
Future Hall of Famer Yadier Molina following future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols. But I love that Pujols, he said this in the locker room afterward, he goes, this was great, this was special. We got to stay focused and win the first round of the playoffs. Probably going to be the Philadelphia Phillies, and I like our chances against them. I'm not going to lie. Like the chances. Good matchup. All right, 314-912-1019. Were you there? I'd love to get your take on that. I love that Nick Schroeder called in to give us his. Also, I had one of those what are the chances situations when I went and saw the 80s metal show out in St. Charles on Friday. I'll tell you about that right around 7:51 here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I guess it's apropos that some Motley Crue is the bump music coming into this, because I got to geek out over some other 80s metal over the weekend. I was all excited Friday going out to Family Arena in St. Charles again to see the 80s metal show. And it was great. It was a pretty good crowd out there as well. Warrant was the headliner, and Winger was there, and Lita Ford led off the show as well. I'm Mike Ferguson. It's 7:52. Got Gabe here. Got Ken here. I'm glad you mentioned this a little bit ago, because I completely forgot about this. So I walk into my seats, and I was kind of like, if you're looking right at the stage, I was in like the first section of seats to the right of the upper, the first level of the seats. I wasn't on the floor, which was great. I was fairly close to the stage. I was up there. But my section of what was like 118 or whatever I was in, there are six seats in that part of the section. You know, the section's divided into two seats. Or two sections, and there's six seats in each side in that part. There was another guy in an eye patch in my row. So six seats and two eye patch dudes. So six seats, six people, 10 functioning eyes.
Yes.
Were there.
It's kind of awesome.
I'm like, what are the chances that the two eye patch dudes are like three seats apart from each other?
And he had the opposite eye of
yes,
to you.
Yes, exactly. Right. He did. Because I had to snap
she got
a
picture with him.
I oh, did.
You did?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
To me.
I did. I was, because it was funny. I texted my wife. I'm like, you are not going to believe this. Because I started walking, and the guy looks at me, and I think he was furrowing his brow, but we only got one eye, so I don't really know. He could have had gas. I don't know. And he starts cracking up. I'm like, what are the chances? And I texted my wife, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, there's another dude with an eye patch here. Like three seats for me. She's like, you've got to get a picture with this guy. So I told him, I said, my wife wants a picture. He's like, let's do it. So I sent it to Rachel, and then I forwarded it to Gabe. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe this.
Well, yeah. What was his reason for having it?
Oh, I didn't ask. I don't know. Yeah. But he was older guy with the long white beard, mm-hmm. You know, kind of. Yeah, it was just really, really funny.
So cool. Okay, do you mind? You mind if I share this on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get hit. I guess it's okay. I didn't ask that guy about it. He didn't know that I'm the guy on the radio, I don't think. Yeah, why not?
All right, cool. Yeah, let's do that.
There it is. And if he even objects, he can call and let me know.
Yeah, exactly. I can blur most of his face.
I wouldn't even. You got to see the eye patch.
You got to see the eye patch.
I just think it was funny. So I go to the show here, and Lita Ford. You remember her from like Kiss Me Deadly and Close My Eyes Forever with Ozzy Osbourne back in the day. And she sounded phenomenal. I mean, it was like listening to her back in the 80s. I mean, she has not lost a thing on her vocals. She looks great. She sounded great. I mean, all of these singers, they're like in their late 50s, early 60s now. And time takes a toll after a while, especially if you're Lita Ford and you've lived a pretty raucous lifestyle over, say, 50-some years, which she did up until recently. But her voice really held up. She sounded phenomenal. She was a lot of fun. Of course, being the first one, she had a really short set that she had to do. But it was really a lot of fun. That's what I love about these shows is none of these bands could fill up something like the Family Arena by themselves. But you stack three of them together, and you got yourself just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they're at the time, you know, in their lives where it's like, let's make some extra money, and they're making some pretty darn good extra money.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go up north, northeast, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, they are filling these Family Arenas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I went to – then after that, it was Winger. And, you know, Winger kind of got kicked around in the 80s and 90s, you know, Beavis and Butthead making fun of them as they were kind of the poppy, wimpy type of band. And, you know, I get it. But they were okay. Kip Winger, I got to tell you, his voice, he's got a very strong voice and he's a very talented musician.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't hold his notes. He couldn't hold his pitch. He really struggled that night.
That's well, man, sad. With the song, I'll tell you what, back in the day when you did cover tunes, which I did, I was when they were first coming out, and Winger, we just couldn't do. He was blowing doors. I mean, that was a voice that didn't last very long.
Yeah, and the thing is that after they fell out of favor and they were able to like, well, we'll just do whatever we want now. They had some really good music that never made it onto like the MTV hair circuit and radio and stuff. They did play my favorite Winger song, which is called Down Incognito, which is nothing like the poppy stuff. It was a really, that was, I was really excited I got to hear that. But all these guys in this band of Winger, very talented guys. And they've all been in all these different bands, like bands, you know, Dokken, Whitesnake, Survivor, Marshall Tucker Band, all these guys have played. And so they actually did a medley from all of those different bands that they've all been in, which took up four, which I think was an audible called by Kip Winger, because he even said out loud, he's like, I can't sing tonight. He actually said it.
Oh, wow.
And he almost fell off the stage at one point, too,
which
was kind of funny. He was like, whoa. I'm like, come on, play your bass. You know, saying, I mean, they put on a good show. I'm glad I got to see him. But, you know, he had an off night because the people sitting next to me said they'd seen him in like the Monsters of Rock cruise where you just go see all these hair metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he sounded amazing 6 months ago. He just must be having a bad night.
Okay.
Which, you know, it happens.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
sure.
Who knows? And then Warrant came up and I'm telling you, they turned up the volume on the speakers.
That was a natural thing that you did all
let's
back
go.
In the 80s.
Oh my goodness. And they barely took a break. There was almost no talking, you know, to make jokes and stuff. It was just
back
song
to back
after
song.
Oh, they
man.
Had a certain amount of time to go and they filled almost all of it with just music and energy, and it was so much fun.
Pictures up.
Absolutely.
Hashtag Pirate Bros.
There you go. All right. A lot of St. Louisans are in Florida helping our fellow Americans through the Red Cross. We're going to get the update at 8:05.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.